RaymondJames.com.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to talk about the abortion restrictions that have been passed by states across the South and beyond. We're going to look at how people are fighting back and at some local protests, and we'll take your calls as well. So here's the number if you'd like to join in the conversation. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Well, let me read a quick story from the AP before we join our guest on the phone. There are hundreds of demonstrators that were marching in the Alabama Capitol yesterday to protest the state's newly approved abortion ban. They were chanting, "My body, my choice," and "Vote them out." The demonstration came days after Governor Kay Ivey signed the most stringent abortion law in the nation, making performing an abortion a felony in nearly all cases unless necessary for the mother's health. The law provides no exception for rape and incest. Alabama is part of a wave of conservative states seeking to mount new legal challenges to Roe v. Wade. That's the 1973 landmark Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion nationwide. Governors in Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, Georgia have approved bans on abortion once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can happen as early as the sixth week of pregnancy. None of the laws has actually taken effect, and all are expected to be blocked by the courts as the legal challenges play out with an ultimate eye on the Supreme Court. So joining us now on the phone is Amy Weintraub. She's the Reproductive Rights Program Director at Progress Florida Education Institute. She's also with the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area. Those are two of the groups that are organizing a rally tomorrow in St. Petersburg. So welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint, Amy.
Oh my gosh, it's great to be here.
Thank you. And I'm embarrassed to say that I was covering an event on Friday and just now realized that you were a guest on Janelle's show just a few days ago. But thanks for joining us again. And we do have some new information to talk about today. So people who heard heard you Friday will hear some new things now. So thanks for joining us, Amy. Why don't we just start off with the details of the rally that have been announced in the last few days. So what, where and when is the rally in St. Petersburg, and what are you calling it?
Yes, the rally is called Stop the Ban, and it's referring, of course, to the abortion bans that have been passed in several states in the last few weeks. And, we're asking that reproductive rights supporters from all over Tampa Bay come together on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, May 21st, in downtown St. Pete at 12 noon. So it's for St. Pete workers. It could be a convenient lunch hour action to take. And we'll be at the St. Pete Judicial Building, which is 545 First Avenue North.
So First Avenue North between 5th Street and 6th Street.
Correct. It's right near Mirror Lake.
About a block south of Mirror Lake, right. Well, we'll get to all the other bans around the country first, but I do want to talk about what happened in the Florida legislature this session. So in the recently completed legislative session in Tallahassee, a bill that was nicknamed the Fetal Heartbeat Bill failed, and so did a bill that would have required minors to get a parent's consent or a judicial order waiving that consent before an abortion. The Fetal Heartbeat Bill would have forbidden physicians from performing abortions once cardiac activity had been detected. That could be at about 6 weeks of pregnancy, and that's before most women even know they're pregnant. So we'll get to a lot of things about those. But first, your reaction to those two items failing in the Florida legislature.
Yeah, it was very interesting because, the conservatives, Republicans, do have the lion's share of power in the legislature. And we are, of course, thrilled that those bills didn't pass, that they didn't get more traction. And why that happened, I think it's possible that the leadership of both houses of the legislature saw that there were so many more important things that needed the energy and the time of the elected officials, and so they chose not to really prioritize those bills this year. And in the meantime, our movement, the reproductive rights movement, I think that we are at unprecedented levels of organization, and more people are identifying as abortion rights supporters and are willing to be mobilized. And so we were able to get a lot of energy in Tallahassee over the course of the 2 months of the session. And perhaps that spoke to the legislators, reminding them that 7 out of 10 Floridians want abortion to stay safe and legal, and that this is not really something that has popular support, restrictions, that is.
Let's talk about what's called the fetal heartbeat bill. And I want to know, first of all, what can you say about what's called the fetal heartbeat? Is there a heart? Is there a heartbeat at the time when they're detecting? What are they actually detecting in order to say whether this is or does not apply under the fetal heartbeat bill?
Well, it's a pulsing vein of a cluster of cells that is about the size of, it's smaller than a lentil at that point. Most physicians would not classify it as a heartbeat, so to speak. It's certainly an unconstitutional stance to take, to claim that this cluster of cells has the rights of a human or whatever, and supersedes a woman's right to abortion access.
And how, at what stage of the pregnancy do we notice this pulse? Can doctors tell there's a pulse? And what I'm getting at is relate that to how, at what point a woman would actually kind of think about going to the doctors even to find out if she might be pregnant.
Or take a pregnancy test at home.
True.
Most women will miss a period and they'll think, oh, my period's late this month. And they'll wait a week or they'll wait 2 weeks. And that's when they might start suspecting that they might be pregnant. So, and for women who have irregular periods and who don't necessarily get a period every 28 days, it could be up to 2 months or 8 weeks between periods before they start suspecting that they're pregnant. So that's what's getting at the point you made originally, that 6 weeks is absolutely before most women would consider that they might be pregnant.
And there are some bills that, and I can't remember which state, maybe it was Missouri, I'm sorry that I don't remember the details, but there are some states that had a contingency. Well, if it gets overturned at this number of weeks, then the contingency will be, it'll be 8 weeks or 12 weeks, whatever the details are. But when they say number of weeks, what are they talking about? Are they talking about a number of weeks since a woman's last menstrual cycle?
Generally, that is probably what they are talking about, but it is interesting that weeks gestation can, different people talk about it in different terms. So it can be some people talk about it in terms of the date of inception, and other people talk about it as the date from the last period. So that would need to be clarified in the legislation. What do they really mean by weeks gestation?
Our guest is Amy Weintraub. She's the Reproductive Rights Program Director at the Progress Florida Education Institute. And the reason I had her on today is because tomorrow in St. Petersburg and some other places around, and we'll talk maybe about if you know of any other locations, there's a demonstration, a stop the ban, hashtag stop the bans demonstration against all of these states that are putting severe restrictions in place. And at the risk of repeating what people might have heard already, these other states are putting these restrictions that are clearly unconstitutional when you take Roe versus Wade into account, but then they're openly saying that we're going to try to test Roe v. Wade. We're going to try to push it up to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, which now weighs heavily conservative. What are some other, are there some other demonstrations besides the one in St. Petersburg that in our area?
Yes, there sure are. If folks go to stopabortionbans.org, that's stopabortionbans.org, they will see all of the different visibility events that are being planned around the state. Not all of them are at 12 noon tomorrow. Some of them are in the afternoon or evening, like at 5 or 6. for example, Planned Parenthood has one in Orlando tomorrow that starts at 6. There's one in Sarasota that also starts at 6. So folks should consult the map. But there are, it looks like there are 7 in South Florida, 1 in Tallahassee, 1 in Gainesville, et cetera.
So they're across the state, but the one, there's a 6 o'clock one in Sarasota and a 12 noon one in St. Petersburg on First Avenue North at around 6th Street. Our guest is Amy Weintraub. She's Reproductive Rights Program Director at the Progress Florida Education Institute. My name is Sean Canaan. It's 12:16 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday. And why don't we go to the phones for a second, because I have some people on the line, but we'll go right now to Gary and Dunedin. And Gary, our phone supervisor, our engineer, tells us that you wanted to comment on fetus worshiping.
Yeah, it was before you. I knew you had a guest, but and I thank the guest, because what we're seeing, this isn't just about abortion. This is a form of gestation slavery. It comes from a place that's very dark and sinister in the human mind that sees women as mere vessels and hosts for fetuses. It's like looking at women as brood mares in the horse world. And I want, you know, the abortion debate, if you wouldn't mind, if we should always contextualize it, that gestation and childbirth are inherently painful, dangerous, and potentially fatal for women. Number two, any fetus in the womb is having a great time compared to once it's born. Number three, any pain, if any, that a fetus feels during abortion is nothing compared to the pain it will feel if it's born into this sad world that we live in. Number four, to tell a woman, especially the victim of rape or incest, that she has to carry somebody's child to term when she doesn't want to. And in these states like Alabama, where rapists and murderers have lower prison sentences under the new law than abortion doctors and women, this is absolutely insane. It's way beyond abortion. And one last thing. Some people say, well, I'm pro-choice, but nobody's in favor of abortion. I am. There's too many humans on the planet already. Every human not born is a blessing for our biosphere.
Well, Gary, let me get our guest's take, and I'm going to let you, yeah, I'm going to drop you off the line, but I do want to get our guest's take. And before I do that, Amy, I want to put a shout out to women to call in, because right now I have a couple of men on the line. Let's get some women on the line. This is an issue that I know women have thoughts about, and I will give you priority. If you call in, I will put you to the first of the line. So 813-239-9663 if you'd like to weigh in on this issue. So Amy, do you have anything that you'd like to respond to what our guest Gary was saying? And let me maybe point you in one direction. He talked about how dangerous it could be for childbirth and so forth. How does the U.S. rate when it comes to women's health, child health, children's health, and health of the childbirth process?
Well, I'm sure that most of your listeners have read the report after report that talks about how dismal the U.S. record is on providing adequate health care for women who are giving birth, and compared to other to European countries and other so-called developed countries, we are failing, especially our African-American women and women who have lower incomes. So it's certainly the case that there is far more risk involved with continuing a pregnancy than there is with abortion, as far as just pure medical outcomes. The other thing that I'd like to comment about here, what Gary said, is the criminalization of pregnancy outcomes. And this is a real thing that we've seen over 24 cases where women who have miscarried, naturally miscarried, have been criminalized for the way that they either handled the discharge or that sort of thing. So we are very nervous as we watch these abortion bans being passed. We are very nervous that it's going to affect all sorts of pregnancy outcomes other than just termination.
Our guest is Amy Weintraub. She's Reproductive Rights Program Director at Progress Florida Education Institute. She's also with the League of Women Voters of St. Petersburg area. Those are two of the groups that are organizing a rally tomorrow at noon in St. Petersburg. It's called hashtag Stop the Bans, and it's against these bans on abortion that are happening throughout, I said throughout the South, but it's also the Midwest. Ohio is one of the states that is also enacting strict legislation. So let's...
Missouri,
exactly. Yeah. So these aren't all in the Deep South. Let's go to Jane in Tampa with a question. Hi, Jane. What would you like to say?
Hi. Well, first of all, the last caller was absolutely wonderful with all the issues he brought up. And I would like to add a couple more to that. Probably the most difficult decision has to be dependent upon a woman's financial situation. And if you can't afford a child, and you know you can't afford it, and you might have one, two, or three already, that's a very grave consideration. And there have been no answers from all of these people who want to ban abortions about what happens to these children after they are born and there is no financial way to support them. The states do not come forward and do anything.
Quite the contrary, especially here in Florida. The Medicaid is not being expanded in Florida and so on. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, please.
That's exactly true. Another person whom I was speaking with recently said, well, why don't we just make vasectomies criminal as well? Because potentially when you cut off the supply of sperm with a vasectomy, you are also ending the possibility of future lives. And, of course, that's never going to happen because men are, especially in the Supreme Court, we have Republicans who are basically just old, fat, white men who care nothing about women's rights. And the third point I would like to make, and now I know this is facetious, but it's something to think about, is that does a fetus have a right to vote? Because if we're saying a fetus is a person at the moment of inception, women who are pregnant should be allowed to have two votes, not one. So those are some valid complaints and some just to put how ridiculous this ban on abortion is and how cruel it is for women into a perspective. And thank you so much. I listen to you guys all the time. You're wonderful, and you do a fantastic job, and I'm really glad you're here.
Jane, thank you for calling in, and I'm really glad that you brought a woman's perspective because so far we've heard only from men, and I appreciate you calling in, and I really encourage our women women listeners to call in with your stories, 813-239-9663. Amy, is there anything that Jane said that you'd like to comment on?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to, Jane was a fantastic caller, just like Gary, and I wanted to mention that almost 60%, nearly 6 out of 10 women who access abortion already have one child at home. So they are making this decision based on their family's needs. And that gets at what Jane was talking about the fact that we're making these decisions not flippantly, not carelessly, but because we already have a child who needs our financial resources.
Exactly. Exactly, and it's never an easy decision. It's the most difficult decision a woman can make, and they're intelligent enough to make the right decision for them and their families. And I've never talked to a woman who wasn't tortured by making the decision, but realized nonetheless it was the best decision for her to make and for her family to make.
Jane, thanks.
Well, I do know women that haven't been tortured by the decision to seek abortion care. They knew immediately that it was something that they needed to do. They didn't want to be pregnant. They didn't want to start a family or have more children. So, for some people, it might be more difficult, but there are women who it's an instantly obvious choice and not something that they necessarily, spend a lot of anxiety over.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening to my concerns and complaints.
Jane, thank you for calling in. I'm going to go.
Yeah, you have a great day.
I'm going to go on to another caller, but thank you for calling in, Jane. And we have Darlene on the air. She's from Seminole. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling about the abortion ban. What nobody is addressing is the fact that men aren't being held accountable to pay their child support.
Amy,
where
would you...
Where are the laws that are enforcing men to pay their child support, which is a lot of the reason that women make that choice?
Thank you, Darlene. Amy, any response to that?
I don't know a lot about how Florida enforces child support. It's not something that I'm an expert on, but I have, along those lines, I have seen some interesting messaging on social media about if the contention that life begins at 6 weeks or, you know, a gestation or whatever, that's the point that the male partner needs to start the child support. And, you know, people are saying that sort of in jest, but it has some validity for sure. And, yeah.
Well, you know, I just feel like that's part of the reason that women face that decision is because they know they're not going to get the support.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I think the laws need to start focusing on making partners pay their child support to help support these children.
Yeah, I do know that, like, research says that 64% of mothers are the primary and sole or co-breadwinners of the family. You know, women are the head of household, most of whom are not getting child support. And so certainly you're right that that's going to be affecting their decision on childbearing, no doubt.
All right, Darlene, thanks so much for that call. I appreciate you bringing that perspective. And we do have another female caller on the air. Let me go to Rose in Tampa. Hi, Rose. What would you like to say?
Hi, I just wanted to chime in with the rest of the ladies about, you know, the real issues. I was really upset at Alabama at first, but, you know, I've come to appreciate the fact that we're here having this discussion because you see so many intelligent women coming up with real solutions. You know, it's almost ridiculous to be discussing this. We know women's health. We know the crisis that we're having in the United States, infant mortality rate being, you know, what it is here. And being a developed country, it's just embarrassing that we're even having these discussions. So when we get to the root of the issue, which is financial, I mean, as an African-American woman, you know, I made the choice not to have children. It's not something that's looked upon that very common, but, you know, I'm educated. I knew the situation. I knew my finances. So I made a choice, and I'm one of those women that woman spoke about. I have no reservations about the choices that I made in life. And I appreciate the fact that I'm an American who can make that kind of choice. So when we start talking about politics and Alabama and the presidential candidates, the only discussion we need to talk about is finances for women. I love the young man talking about the universal basic income or the freedom dividend, where he's trying to give, you know, the women that are at home every day, getting no appreciation for taking care of kids that are here. You know, $1,000 a month. You know, ideas like that are what we should be talking about as women, not the silly things that are never going to happen. So thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Rose. And Amy, let me read, I'm going to read an email from the different perspective. From the 352 area code, this gentleman writes in, I forget his name, he's written in before, and he didn't sign his name today, but he has in the past, and I forget his name. But 352 writes, the real question is, why do women who know they can't afford another child go ahead and get pregnant anyway? Liberalism simply abhors personal responsibility. So how would you respond to 352?
Well, first of all, these are unintended pregnancies. These are women did not intend to get pregnant. They either their birth control failed or they didn't have access to it. It's not like they went to get pregnant the way he phrased it, the way that he phrased it. And so, you know, we must keep that in mind. And secondly, abortion is a responsible decision for women. It's a responsible option that women have at their disposal. It's safe and it's legal. And this idea of shaming women for getting pregnant is ridiculous. Pregnancy is not punishment. Abortion is not punishment. It is health care.
Can women get pregnant on their own? He asks in a leading and sarcastic way. and you're not gonna play ball with that one.
What do I say to that?
Exactly.
Actually, intentionally, women can get pregnant on their own. They can access sperm banks, and women do that. Women who wish to get pregnant can. But again, these are unintentional pregnancies.
Our guest is Amy Weintraub, Reproductive Rights Program Director at the Progress Florida Education Institute, and you have a rally that you're helping to organize tomorrow at noon in St. Petersburg. It's called #StopTheBans, and we're going to link to the Facebook event page on our website this afternoon. And Amy, I we're on beyond the time that you agreed to be on. Are you still okay, or do you need to go?
I'm okay.
Okay, great. We have people on the phone, and I hope that you're patient, but I do want to play a clip that I got on Friday, because I think, and it's slightly, well, it's changing the subject a little bit, but it still has to do with women and women's rights. And I would like to get your perspective on this after our listeners hear this, maybe hear it again. I did play it once on Friday afternoon. Let me find where I am here. Sorry about that. All right. So I'm going to play you an exchange between Hillsborough County Clerk of Court, Pat Frank, and she asked several legislators if they support the Equal Rights Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And here we're going to hear, so Pat Frank is going to be interacting here with Republican Representative Jamie Grant from Florida, from Tampa, that is. And he tried to tell Pat Frank, who is a woman, that there's not really a pay gap between men and women. So let's listen to this exchange, and then we'll get your thoughts. And listeners, if you want to call in with your thoughts, 813-239-9663.
Am I a man or a woman?
Under pending policy, you could change your mind today to tomorrow. And so
Visually, what am I?
A woman.
All right. But I'm not a protected class. Because we do not have the amendment to the Constitution that we need, which is ERA. Will you support that?
We do have you as a protected class, because if you're discriminated on the basis of being a woman, every single thing is currently protected.
Tell those
protected.
Women in Alabama.
Tell them what?
Question.
What would you like me to tell them?
Are you telling me that a woman cannot have an abortion when she knows she's pregnant? How does a woman know she's pregnant? She has to have a test made?
Sure, but that's a different question than whether or not females are a protected class with employment discrimination. And there's really no dispute that a woman is a protected class.
There is no question that there are protected groups. Minority groups are identified, physically identified. Women are physically identified. They should be a protected class, and women should be included in the U.S. Constitution. The one disappointment I had in the legislature was that three states were needed for ratification. I think there are now just two needed. Will you sponsor that bill?
The ERA bill?
Yes.
No, I won't.
Would the others?
And the reason is there's an absence of any indication, right?
I think it says it all to women.
Well, no, it doesn't. And I think rhetoric matters and words matter, because the reason
they
I'm not
matter.
Supporting it
and
has nothing to
I'm
do with...
I'm asking you for your word.
Right. The reason I'm not supportive of that initiative is it has nothing to do actually with men versus women. The reason I don't support it is that it has a significant economic impact in the face of plenty of studies that actually show we don't oftentimes have the wage disparity that we have. And secondly, where we do have the wage disparity that exists, that's where the businesses in the community...
We don't have a wage disparity?
I think you can look at the macroeconomic studies, and I'm happy to sit down with you. You don't actually have...
I'm happy to sit down with you and tell you you're wrong.
Well, I look forward to that.
Well, that was State Representative Jamie Grant, a Tampa Republican, arguing with Democratic Hillsborough County Clerk of Court Pat Frank about the pay gap between men and women. And Grant and three Democratic colleagues in the Florida legislature answered questions on Friday at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. So, Amy, I don't know if you have thoughts about what you just heard. We're slightly switching the topic. They started out talking about the abortion and about the Equal Rights Amendment, but I thought it was really noteworthy that State Representative Jamie Grant says that there's not really a pay gap between men and women.
I am just stunned by that back and forth. I don't know where Jamie Grant is getting his information, but here are the facts. Workplace discrimination still persists, and typically women who work full-time take home about 80 cents for every dollar that a full-time male worker earns.
And, I mean, that's real money. Over a career, women lost compared to men is like $700,000 for a high school graduate. And it's way more, it's $1 million, over $1 million, $1.2 million for a college graduate, $2 million for a professional school graduate. There is a significant, significant pay gap in among genders in the United States.
But if Jamie Grant and Pat Frank sat down and had that conversation they wanted to have, and he talked about macroeconomics, he would explain all that away. There's not really a gap.
Again, I don't know where he's getting it. Every research, study after study, show that pay inequity is a fact.
Our guest is Amy Weintraub, the Reproductive Rights Program Director at the Progress Florida Education Institute. And let me go back to the phones, if that's all right with you, Amy. And we'll hear from Claire in Sarasota. Hi, Claire. What would you like to say?
I'm just, every time, the more and more I listen to the conversation happening today, it's angering me more and more, to the point where it's hard to even find words. You know, the saying, hell has no fury, like a woman's gourd. Well, we need some fury. We need it big. You know, the hypocrisy is just absolutely stunning to me, that we have a Supreme Court justice who was put there with the excuse that something he did in high school shouldn't follow him for the rest of his life, and it's fine. But what if that encounter had resulted in a pregnancy? Then she would have to live with that mistake and that experience for the rest of her life and not be allowed to handle it in any other way. It's just, I just, that's all I had to say, really. I'm just absolutely floored. I'm speechless. I'm angry. I'm sure there's a lot of other women out there that feel the same way. And it's just mind-blowing. Thank you.
Claire, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. Amy, you know, she brought up the Kavanaugh hearings and Justice Kavanaugh now being on the Supreme Court. And this is where all of this probably will end up. What's going to happen when the Alabama law, for example, goes up to the Supreme Court and women challenge it and say, look, you know, if I was raped, I can't get an abortion in Alabama. That's unconstitutional. What's the Supreme Court going to say?
It's going to be really interesting to watch to see which of the anti-abortion laws they decide to take up on their docket and what they decide to do with it. I mean, it could be that Roe won't be totally overturned, but it's just gutted to the point that some of these laws are allowed to stand. And then women in those states are going to have to, you know, obviously resort to other measures in order to access abortion. Because the fact is, they're still going to be accessing abortion, whether it means that they leave the state to go to another health care provider in a neighboring state, whether they order abortion medication online, or resort to even more drastic things. It's not going to end abortion in those states.
It'll just put people in more danger. So let me read this anonymous email that came in from Sun City Center. It says, I think it's time to start withholding sex from men who support these abortion bans. Any man that thinks it's okay to force a woman to remain pregnant when she doesn't want to should be removed from the gene pool. So that is an anonymous comment out there, kind of echoing what actor Alyssa Milano said the other day. She was calling for kind of a Lysistrata where women withhold sex from all men, not just from people who support these abortion bans. So thank you for that comment out there, Anonymous. Let's see, Kevin writes in, my guess is that Jamie gets his statistics from Lou Dobbs and the rest of the Fox mouthpieces. And so Jamie is State Representative Jamie Grant from Tampa. That's Kevin's thoughts out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to probably move on and let you go, but why don't you tell us one more time, Amy, when and where is the demonstration tomorrow in St. Petersburg?
Yes. We are in St. Pete at the St. Pete Judicial Building, which is at 545 First Avenue North, First Avenue and Fifth Street at 12 noon. And we would, folks can, if they would wear red, bring their own sign. We will be there for about an hour, and it will be an exciting show, an exciting display of folks who care
about women, who care about women's health, and who care about abortion access.
Well, Amy Weintraub is the Reproductive Rights Program Director at Progress Florida Education Institute. Thank you so much for joining me today on 88.5 FM, Amy.
It's a real pleasure, Sean. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard so far, 813-239-9663. We're going to move on and talk about some other things in just a second as well. Let me play this story from Florida Public Radio. Sometimes I don't get to play them on the headlines because they're a little bit long. This one's about 3 minutes long, so a little bit too long for my headlines this morning, but it's about a very important topic. In fact, Rob said that he's going to be talking about this on his show tomorrow at 11 on 88.5 FM, so you'll hear more about this on Radioactivity. But Governor Ron DeSantis has approved a measure that could pave the way for the state's first major highway expansion in decades. The effort has been led by State Senate President Bill Galvano from Bradenton, who pushed the roads as a way to aid in evacuations, promote growth in rural parts of the state, and help transport an ever-growing population. But environmentalists argue the toll road idea could be a disaster for fragile ecosystems. And I should say that at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club on Friday, two Democratic senators, Daryl Rousson and Janet Cruz, defended their votes for this bill. They said the new highways would help during hurricane evacuations. So Lynn Hatter has this report on the toll roads bill, and we'll be back to take your thoughts about this and or anything else that you want to talk about in just 3 minutes on 88.5 FM Tampa. Here's Lynn Hatter.
A recent protest drew about two dozen people to the Tri-Rail station in Hollywood. Sue Caruso with the Sierra Club spoke with public radio station WLRN in Miami.
There's no way they're not going to disrupt some of the last remaining natural areas, disturbing habitats, and human resources.
The Sierra Club is among some 90 environmental organizations that lobbied Governor Ron DeSantis to veto the measure that would lead to three new highways in the state. Jonathan Weber with Florida Conservation Voters has called the plan a disaster.
These highways will go through some of the most pristine and rural lands that we have left in Florida. And it won't just be highways, it's also all the infrastructure needed for urban sprawl, like sewer and utilities, even broadband connections are listed in there. So this is really a recipe to develop some of these more pristine lands. I can't really think of a much worse bill than in my entire time in politics.
Weber and other environmental advocates worry about the impact the new toll roads will have on agricultural areas and wetlands, places the state has worked for decades to preserve and rehabilitate. Right now, there's no planned route for the roads, but the general idea is to expand Tampa's Suncoast Parkway to the Georgia border through Jefferson County, lengthen the Florida Turnpike west to connect to the Suncoast Parkway, and build the Heartland Parkway, which would run from Polk County down to Collier near Naples.
I think we can improve evacuation access to our rural communities, multi-purpose corridor access.
That's Senate President Bill Galvano announcing the plan earlier this year. At times, it appeared the proposal was going nowhere. It did not get a hearing in the House until the final weeks of the annual lawmaking session. The final version of the proposal is substantially different from where it began. It calls for local, state, and regional input to mitigate potential ecological damage, and in the early years of planning, it shifts state transportation dollars to more rural areas of the state so communities can invest in infrastructure. Speaking to public radio station WUSF in Tampa, Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez recently said Governor Ron DeSantis was evaluating the measure.
I know that they had looked at it from a readiness standpoint with regards to hurricanes and the ability to really facilitate with folks that are trying to avoid a storm like what we saw in Irma. So I know that that's an issue that comes up from time to time, so he'll look at it from a wide variety of perspectives.
DeSantis had previously expressed his concerns about toll roads, but had noted the need to relieve congestion in South and Central Florida.
We really want to focus our transportation strategy on alleviating all the congestion in places like South Florida and Central Florida, which has really, really been bad. And then we want to embrace innovation.
He signed off on the bill Friday. Construction of the projects must begin no later than December 31st, 2022, and be open to traffic no later than December 31st, 2030. I'm Lynn Hatter.
Well, that was a report from Florida Public Radio about the toll roads bill through rural parts of Florida. There's one that's scheduled to... or propose to go all the way to Georgia and then I guess stop in a wall at Georgia. Who knows what will actually happen when if they build that toll road north from Tampa to Georgia, the Georgia line, and then one that would connect that road that hasn't been built yet to the Florida Turnpike, and then one that would head from roughly the Lakeland-ish area down to roughly the, who knows, Fort Myers-ish area. These are just alleyways that they're discussing, and of course that was talked about last hour on Radioactivity and will be Rob's big topic tomorrow at 11. So if you want to learn more about that, tune in tomorrow at 11 to 88.5 FM, and Rob will be talking about that with his guests. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we've got all lines full, so I'm not going to give out the phone number right now, but we're going to move through some of these and let's see. We have John in Port Richey. Hi, John. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show. I'm just kind of an observation here. I remember during the Affordable Care Act debate, known as Obamacare, I heard a lot of things on the right wing radio and Republican politicians that this was big government getting in between you and your health care. And after the law is passed, I haven't really seen any of that big government getting in between you and your health care. Whereas when I look at these laws that are being passed by Alabama and Georgia in conjunction with the abortion debate, that to me seems like these laws are the poster child for big government getting in between you and your health care provider. Am I wrong on that observation, I ask? And also, why don't I hear that on the conservative radio about this being big government getting in between you and your doctor as much as I did about the Affordable Care Act?
All right, John, thank you for that comment, and I think we get your point. I certainly think that throwing a doctor in jail for performing a procedure, for the government to throw a doctor in jail for performing a health procedure, that sounds like big government intruding in our lives, and it doesn't sound conservative at all. I think I get what you're saying. All right, thank you for that call, John. And I'm going to read an email from Greg before I go back to the phones. Now that John is off the line, we do have some open lines, and I especially would like to hear from women if you'd like to talk about this, or if anyone would like to talk about the roads bill, of course, we can talk about that as well. But Greg writes, and I'm not going to read everything because it's a very long email, but let me just start and we'll see if we get the gist. The Republican candidates continue this tradition today, using women's maternity to pander to conservative Christo-fascists. All of them, but especially Carly Fiorina, have blood on their hands. The videos of fetus selling have been discredited, and the people who produced them charged with crimes. And he goes on to talk more about Carly Fiorina, who was running for president three or four years ago. So thank you for that comment out there, Greg. And let's see, what else? Joe writes, seems to be primarily middle-aged Republican white men who dictate their beliefs and agenda regarding reproductive rights. What would show from a poll of beliefs taken from their wives and daughters? So Joe is asking how the women in those male legislators' lives, you know, it was very striking in Alabama. I think that there were 25 or something white male senators that voted for that bill. Although, what's the gender of the person, the woman who signed that bill in Alabama? Kay Ivey is a woman. So I think we get your point, even though there are some women allies, I guess, in that fight. So let's hear from Teresa in St. Pete. Hi, Teresa. What would you like to say?
Well, first about the toll roads, it's all about the money. This just to make the Republican donors richer. They don't care about anything else except money. And on the abortion issue, I am a 60-year-old woman, and I have been hearing this conversation for like 40 years that I can really remember, you know, when I started to hear about so much of it. And it's like, I am just so sick and tired of the government just interfering in our bodies. It's just, I just had it up to here. Now, if the Republican women who feel that they need their government to make the decisions about their bodies for them, fine, call Mitch McConnell, call anybody in Congress and have a conversation with them about their menstruation and their birth control. And, you know, that's fine. And You know, but for me, I don't need that. I can do it on my own. And these women that are anti-choice, I don't trust them to be in our government. If they can't make this, aren't capable of making decisions about their own bodies, they need the government. How can we trust them to make the right decisions when it comes to other stuff in the government, like foreign policy and, you know, all these other things? I don't trust them. If you can't, if you think you're not capable to make your own decisions about your body, then how can I? I don't trust them. I'm just going to say it just like that. I don't trust them.
Well, Teresa, it's not like they're taking guns away or anything. I mean, nothing that intimate.
Right. You know, guns, yeah, go kill all the people you want. But if it's in the womb, oh, it can't, you know, we got to. But once it comes out of the womb, these right for life people or whatever, you know, I just call them anti-choice or I just call them anti-life. Because when the child comes out of the womb, they could care less if it dies or it doesn't have anything to eat or, you know, it's not taken care of. They could care less about any of that. I never hear pro-life people or anti-choice people ever talking about anything like that, like helping that child get a good home and see it through its years before it's an adult, make sure it's got the good life, a good home, a good food, a good education. No, they just cut all that stuff out. So I don't know. I'm still waiting for some pro-choice or pro-life anti-life people to explain that to me, and I have yet to hear anybody.
Teresa, thanks so much for your call. And I want to remind people that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. My name is Sean Kinney, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday. Our guest earlier was Amy Weintraub from the Progress Florida Education Institute, who is helping to organize a rally tomorrow in St. Petersburg. It's called hashtag Stop the Bans, about the abortion bans that are happening kind of all over the country, really, especially here in the South. And people are calling in at 813-239-9663 to weigh in on that. We also played a story from Florida Public Radio about the toll roads bill that was signed by Governor DeSantis just a few days ago, which might lead to three major new highways in toll road highways through rural parts of Florida and what people are thinking about that. And Mark from Brandon writes, very interesting that the Republicans keep mentioning hurricanes as a reason to need the toll roads. Yet they are, for the most part, denying global warming. And so that's Mark from Brandon. So thank you for that, Mark. And of course, the tie between the hurricanes and global warming is that the more the climate is being disrupted by carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the stronger the hurricanes are, and possibly the more frequent the hurricanes are. But certainly, they're stronger and stronger decade after decade because of the amount of energy in the atmosphere keeps climbing because of the amount of CO2 trapping heat. So thank you for that, Mark. I appreciate that. And Andrew in Hardy County says, thanks for keeping Amy's voice out front. And he's referring to my guest, Amy Weintraub. Jamie Grant on the pay gap sounds like Orange Top on climate. Don't bother me with facts. So that is what Andrew says about that. So thank you for that. Let's go now to Vic in Tampa. Hi, Vic. What would you like to say?
I really regret that Amy had to leave because I'd love to know how her organization intends to educate white women who, marching is nice. I guess it makes people feel good, but voting is probably more effective in terms of how you stop this and take control of your body and your future again. I don't think that anyone who has not been under a rock for the last 2 years is unaware of the fact that the plurality, if not majority, of white women voters voted for Donald Trump, for a person who made it clear that he had no respect for women or the rights of women and was not going to change that position. But they voted for him instead of a woman who clearly had the interest of women at heart and has a career, a track record of the same. It's a perfect example of people getting riled up and going out and marching and calling in and saying all kind of nice sounding things and then turning around, going into the voting booth and voting for someone who put Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh on the bench And the same is true of the state of Alabama, Missouri, Georgia, all these places. They voted those people into office, and those people clearly do not represent their interest. Or, I shouldn't say that, they probably do represent their interest in some sense. I guess I'm just at a loss to understand how what their calculus is for making that decision.
All right, thank you so much, Vic. I'm gonna let you go because you have a lot of background noise, but you made some excellent points about voters and about the people who helped to elect Donald Trump. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. I want to read this email that comes from Lou in Tampa. He says, "As a man, I don't have any right to say what a woman does with her body. I just wish we could get everyone else to understand that self-determination is a basic human right." Thank you to you and your guests. So that's the email from Lou in Tampa. And there's this theme I keep hearing or seeing through our comments that people are calling in and a lot of the people who are emailing in. And it has to do with who's making the decisions and who it's affecting the most directly. And in this case, as in a lot of cases, the men are the ones that are mostly making the decisions, and the women are the ones who are mostly being affected. And I think that even if you don't see exactly that perspective, that you know, maybe you don't agree with abortion rights or the right to choose, I think you can see how it feels a lot like you don't have self-determination, and it feels like you don't have any control over the situation. And I think that that is getting at part of the issue about why people are so upset. So thank you for that perspective. Let's hear from Jack in Dover. Hi, Jack. What would you like to say?
Hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. Sean, this might be a little bit out of the box, but I was wondering if legislation could possibly take a little bit more of the financial burden out of the question of abortion by changing the foster home laws to also include the mother. So you could foster home, make your home available to the mom and the daughter.
Okay, that's certainly something that's a little bit outside of my expertise, but I get where you're going with that, Jack. And I think you also call yourself Hugh when you call sometimes. So thank you for calling in. There is a huge financial burden to people when they have a child, and making it more difficult to have a choice in the matter is forcing a lot of people into financial insecurity. And who knows, maybe that's a great answer. And I don't know enough about the foster system to know whether to foster women and their children would be an option. So thank you for that suggestion. We might have time to squeeze in one more call before the end of the show. So let's hear from Shane in Riverview. Hi, Shane.
Yes. I hate to say it, but I'm against the abortion. But the reason being is, once the child is born, the woman has, the child is formed in the body, the woman has the choice if she don't want to ruin her life, so they say, to abort a child. Now, if you're going to abort it because of incest or rape, I agree with that. But any other reason shouldn't be. The man don't have a choice if the woman keeps the abort the child. So I don't think it's fair that the woman has that same, she knew what she was doing just as the man knew what he was doing when they made that child. I just don't think that's fair.
All right, Shane, thank you for calling in with that thoughts. And unfortunately, we don't have very much time to respond. I would say that the consequences, who has to live with the consequences more? I see you trying to draw a parallel between a man's choice, I guess you would say, in this issue, and a woman's choice. Well, the woman is certainly the one who is going to have to deal with the consequences more so necessarily than the man. But if you're listening and you'd like to comment on what Shane said or what anyone else said during the show, give us a call and leave a voicemail, and I'll play it next show. It won't be next Monday, Memorial Day. 813-238-8001, extension 114. If you'd like to leave a voicemail, thank you to everyone who called. I appreciate the great conversation. Thanks to our guest. Thanks to Alvaro Montealegre and Frank Knox for being phone answers and engineers. Coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, we'll hear executive session. Thanks so much for listening.